What is chronic loneliness? How do we know? There are people who definitely feel lonely a lot, or are with people, but they still feel lonely, like they're not alone and they're lonely. How do you know if you have chronic loneliness? And if someone you know has it, how do you help them? Terry Freiberg is a prolific author who studies chronic loneliness through the unique lens of a social psychologist turned lawyer. Terry Freiberg is with us now. Hi, Terry. Thanks for doing this.
My pleasure.
So times like these have to really enhance certain ailments, and I would assume chronic loneliness would be one of those if we're all being encouraged to be isolated.
I think that's entirely true. I think that the effect of truly lonely people who live alone often enough, or who feel like they're alone, are enormously affected by what we all have to do with the social distancing, so-called.
How do we know, you know, even if people are looking inwards, how do you know if you are someone who is lonely, chronically lonely? What are the, I don't want to say symptoms, but I'm going to say symptoms.
Sure. Well, we're all lonely from time to time. That's just not even an issue. We lose our grandparents in our 20s. When we're in our 50s or so, we lose our parents and uncles and aunts. We all feel lonely. Friends move away. That's not the issue. Chronic loneliness is a mental illness. It's a state of mind that where the disconnection you experience blocks you from reconnecting or forming new connections with others.
What do people who are chronically lonely, if there is a common thread, what do they tend to think about themselves, feel about themselves?
They have real problems with themselves. A lot of times we find in clinical work that the beginning of the feeling of chronic loneliness, the disconnection from others, is a disconnection from oneself, is a lack of a learned capacity to form connections with others when you were a child. So a lot of it has to do with people who were brought up by non-loving parents, or someone who was brought up normally but has suffered a trauma that has broken their capacity to really connect with other people in their lives.
Terry, can chronic loneliness be treated?
Yes, it can be. It is possible to reconnect with others. But it's not talk therapy that works. It's more like working with traumatized, say, soldiers who come back from war, very wounded by what they've seen. Chronically lonely people have to be reached by a mix of body work and a talk therapy in order to get them to assess the relationships they have, take a look at why it's so hard for them to make new relationships, and then to think about repairing the relationships they have and what they can do to strike out to make some new linkages.
So that's interesting, repairing the relationships they have. I would assume some, if not most, chronically lonely people push people away from them.
That's exactly right. And when we ask people about their friendships and they list them out for us, and then we give some of the tests that are available, there's one called the UCLA Loneliness Test, very valid, very reliable set of 20 questions. We learn whether those friends really are there for them or whether it's just the name of someone who used to be your friend but now who you barely see or connect with.
How did the topic of or the study of loneliness become such a part of what you do?
Well, I as you mentioned, am a PhD social psychologist and an attorney, and I practice law at the crossroads of law and psychiatry, by which I mean I was general counsel to social service agencies that hire a lot of psychiatrists, psychologists, and clinical social workers. And I was the lawyer they called up when they needed legal consultation because of their clinical work.
And you encountered, situations and, as I'm reading, dysfunctional bonds that can lead to chronic loneliness. Is that what you were referring to earlier when it said if you're raised by unloving people?
Well, We have some studies that show that humans train their babies by all that hugging and cuddling and nourishing we do, soothing. We're training our babies to form pathways in their brains by which they will go out and seek their own friends and later their own mates and later they'll parent. And so one way to become lonely is if your parents don't train you that way. Rather like famous psychologist Conrad Lorenz, who raised geese from when they broke out of their eggs having removed the mother goose. So they never learned to fly. They just walked around following him. They thought that was what a goose does. So people raised by parents who don't nurture and hold and give them a million kisses, or people who are from good parentage but run into trauma in their life, sometimes just can't reach out and do all that connecting that those of us who are lucky enough to be well-formed in these ways are able to do.
Do people who are chronically lonely want to be closer to people, or is that just part of who they are, that they don't want anyone around them?
It's an excellent question, because I think it's both true. A lot of chronically lonely people don't claim to be perfectly happy with their solitude. But then when they enter clinical work trying to deal on their lack of relationships and they learn more about themselves, they typically learn to admit that they have a problem with connection. Not unlike alcoholism. It's not so easy to admit that you have the problem, but obviously you need to first, as we all know, before you can really work on it.
You say that loneliness is like hunger, thirst, and fear. It's a sensation rather than an emotion. Can you explain that?
Yes, indeed. Hunger, thirst, fear, and disconnection, if you like, come from the parietal lobe of our brain, which isn't particularly different from the other mammals. So when we look in nature, we see a squirrel look at us or a deer look at us, and they're trying to figure out whether we're planning an attack or whether we're harmless. They're moved by sensations that come to them from their senses, whether it's they suddenly feel hungry or thirsty or afraid or disconnected. So our basic feeling of loneliness is not a thought. It's not from our human nature. It's from our animal nature. It's because we're herd animals. So for us, deer, other kinds of mammals, being separated from the herd or the group is a threat, is a risk. And so we're built bioelectronically, if you like, to seek connection. And when we don't have an adequate amount of it, we feel disconnected, and we have a word for that in English, loneliness.
Can you, as we get close to the end, this has been so interesting, can you tell us about the loneliness books?
Yes. Well, thelonelinessbooks.com is a website, and I've written three books on loneliness. The one in 2016 called
Four Seasons of Loneliness.
is about people who are lonely because they're disconnected. They live alone. They are alone in life. The book that just came out May 1st, called Surrounded by Others and Yet So Alone, is about the other pathway to loneliness. People who have others in their lives, mates, children, partners, neighbors, teammates, but they don't get anything out of these relationships, and so they feel lonely. So loneliness can come from an objective right. disconnection or from a subjective feeling of being disconnected.
So very interesting. Thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Terry Freiberg. He is an author. He studies chronic loneliness through the unique lens of a social psychologist turned lawyer. And if you're interested, the website is thelonelinessbooks.com. You're listening to The Night Side.